It's an amazing thing how we can say we're Bible believers and then not practice what we believe. It's an amazing thing that we can embrace a great commission without embracing the great commission. It's an amazing thing how we will holler at the folks who produce the Living Bible and then misuse the real Living Bible. It's an amazing thing. We'll get mad at the ASV, but we won't do the KJV. Now tonight, I'm going to talk about a sensitive subject. A subject that I am warned about, preaching about, by older preachers who do not care for a type of an outreach that just reaches everybody. And so I'm going to touch a nerve. I realize where I'm standing tonight. I realize I'm in Texas, and I realize I'm in East Texas, and I realize I'm in the South, and I realize it's not a very popular subject. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we don't believe the Bible. And regardless of what you feel about this subject tonight, I've got to take God at His word over what you may say, what your daddy may say, and what your grandpappy may say. Because if they disagree with God, they're wrong. So tonight I want to speak on the subject of what is a creature. What is a creature? Now the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, if we can just figure out what a creature is tonight, then we can obey what the Bible says about what to do about every creature. So let's bow our heads for prayer and ask God to meet with us. Now, Heavenly Father, please meet with us tonight. I sense in many places around the country rebellion. I sense sometimes among the good people in this church rebellion. I sense among sometimes staff members rebellion. And dear God, I love you tonight. And I learned a long time ago I had to put aside my personal preferences and let them become subservient, dear Lord, to your precious word. Now, God, help us to love the world that you let your son die for. You didn't let your son die for America. You let your son die for the world. God, help us. Please speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, what is a creature? May I pose some questions tonight? How tall is a creature? May I pose some questions tonight? How much does a creature weigh? May I pose a question tonight? What color hair does a creature have? May I pose a question tonight? Where does now wake up, look at me now. Look, don't make me mad. Now, bless God, I've worked hard to prepare a sermon tonight for you to sit there and run from Genesis to Revelation while I'm up here pouring my soul out. In God's name, have some decency and stay awake. Guarantee you got sin in your life. Now, where does a creature live? You see, if we can ever figure out how big he is, how tall he is, what color hair he has, and where he lives, we might be able to get the gospel to him. Now, what does a creature wear? If we can ever find out what a creature wears, we might be able to get the gospel to a creature. Now, what nationality is a creature? Is he white, 21, and junior executive, and does he drive a Trans Am or a Cadillac or a Lincoln? What does he drive? What is a creature? What sex is a creature? How old is a creature? How young is a creature? Does a creature have to have both a mommy and a daddy? Or does a creature just have a daddy that's drunk at home and nobody cares about the little boy? Or does the creature have a mother who's a prostitute and jumping from bed to bed and selling her body to a bunch of wicked, low-down scoundrels? Let me just pull over and park here tonight. Buddy, if you're a whoremonger tonight, or if you're a whore tonight, let me tell you, God never intended for you to be a whoremonger, a pimp, or a prostitute. God intended for you to live holy and upright before God Almighty. And God didn't intend for you men to look with your lustful eyes at dirty magazines, at women who are stripped naked. God intended for you not to live like a bunch of animals. But what is a creature? How old is this creature? Have you seen a creature today? Did you see a creature this week? Have you met a creature? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does a creature drive a car? Does a creature walk? Don't put your head in your chin. You'll go to sleep if you do. Put your hand down. Now, does a creature pedal a bicycle? Does he pedal a tricycle? How does a creature get around? Does he walk on two legs? Is he somebody's son? Is he somebody's daughter? Could it be he's somebody's daddy and somebody's mommy? And could it be that somebody loves him an awful lot? Hey, I know somebody loves him an awful lot. God loved him so much, he let his son come to this wicked old world and live for 33 and a half years and get spit upon and cussed at and his beard plucked and the crown of thorns put on his head and a spear running his side and stripped naked in front of a whole world. I happen to know that God loves these creatures an awful lot, and he let Jesus come and die for them. By the way, doesn't say he died for the white man. Said he died for the whole world. Doesn't say he died for East Texas honkies. He died for the whole world. That's who he died for. We can stand and preach about separation. 99.9% of you would holler, amen. We could stand tonight and preach about sacrificial giving and lower it to about 80% who'd holler, amen. We could get it down to selling out for Christ and being a second mile Christian. We can whittle it down to about 75%. Who hollered, amen. We can talk about give it all Sundays and preach about it and tell everybody to give the whole paycheck, and we'll whittle it down to about 50%. But then when we start talking about you winning a black man to Jesus, we'll whittle it down to about 25%. And we talk about you winning a drunk to Jesus, you whittle it down to about 25%. You see, some of you think you're too good to keep somebody out of hell, and too good to win a black man to Jesus, too good to win a Spanish man. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. This bigotry that goes on in the South and around America is of the devil, and it's straight out of hell, and we'll never win our world to Christ until we grow up and be what God intended for us to be as Christians. What is a creature? What is a creature? Well, I'll tell you. How many of you had coming in on buses on your big day? Who cares? Who cares how many come in on buses? They're little boys and girls that somebody has loved and born and in travail brought into this world. And God loves them, and we ought to love them, and we ought to get the gospel to them. Who cares? You've been around the day of Pentecost, you'd have said, I wonder how many came in on camels. While most of you sitting around smoking a camel. Come on now. The truth of the matter is, who cares whether they came in on camels or came in Fords or whatever they came in. God pity the man that came in a Ford. But I don't care how they come. The truth of the matter is, God loves the little children. All the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. You see, tonight, this matter of bigotry, of prejudice, is an age-old problem. It's always been with us, always will be with us. And here's what you're sitting and thinking. Thank God I'm white to the bone. I just wonder. Acts, please, chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. In verse 1, you'll find Paul being brought into account of his conversion. Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law and of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone about from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying, Thou unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. He goes through and tells his conversion story. I want you to look at verse 14, please. Let's quickly look at verse 14. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Now watch me, watch it, watch the scripture, listen carefully, verse 21. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto these Gentiles. He said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Now look at verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word. They listened to him until he said, I was sent unto the Gentiles. And the Bible says they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded them to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, and that he might know wherefore they crieth so against him. It was all right for the Apostle Paul to talk about taking the gospel to the world as long as it did not include those dirty, rotten Gentiles. And the very moment that the Apostle Paul said the Gentiles, then anger began to flare up and tempers began to rage. And the Bible says, and they gave him audience unto this word and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fella from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. May I say to you, if you cross America and say, go to the black side of town and win black people to Jesus, they'll stand up in arms and they'll say, Away with such a fella. Away with such a fella. How
dare he go into the black side of town, into the so-called, quote, nigger side of town, and try to win somebody to Jesus? You listen to me, my dear friend. Don't you tell me you love the world if you don't love the black people in our town. Don't you tell me you love the same world that Jesus loved, that God loved so much that he let his own son die for. I refuse to be a part of a bigoted fundamentalism that does not love its entire city, does not love its entire world. You listen to me. God never intended for the fundamental church to be that way. And I'm telling you, I don't care whether you're from Mississippi, Louisiana, or Texas, or Arkansas. I don't care. I'm telling you tonight that the Bible says that Jesus died for the whole world. Yes, he did. I'll tell you what burns me up tonight. This church here, and God bless you good people. But buddy, the only time blacks were ever allowed here was when we had a big day before I came, and you didn't mind having 5,000 and 6,000 here, but you dead sure didn't want the blacks the next Sunday morning walking in this auditorium and in these pews. And you listen to me, the black community is sick and tired of being used by a bunch of honkies to get their attendance up. And listen to me. I'm not just preaching a controversial sermon tonight. I'm telling you what God has to say about it. If you're embarrassed because we got black people coming to this church, then let me tell you something, Mr. Honky Hypocrite. You pack up your letter and move it to the Southern White Southern Baptist Church. Get your tail out of here. But as far as this preacher's concerned, we're going to care about the whole town. And I'll tell you, we just got too many blacks coming around. Why don't you get right with God, hypocrite? Why don't you get right with God? Well, we're afraid these white girls are going to marry these black boys. Let me tell you something. If we just, we've tried everything else in America, why don't we try telling the truth? I tell preachers, why don't you get in the pulpit and say, black ones don't marry white ones, and white ones don't marry black ones. Man, that doesn't mean a black man's any less than a white man. It doesn't mean a white man's any better than a black man. It just means God never intended for the races to intermarry. You listen to me. Somebody's got to start telling this thing, and somebody's got telling it straight. If we don't, we're going to have a bloodbath in America, and thousands of people are going to die. You know why? Because the church of Jesus Christ didn't care enough to do what God sent them to do. What is a creature? What is a creature? We can never figure out what a creature is. And just say, well, if I had all those blacks, I could have a big crowd. Well, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? Listen, if a black man's not a white man's not going to listen to me, I'm going to talk to a black man. If a black man's not going to listen to me, I'm going to talk to a white man. If a rich's not going to listen to me, I'm going to the poor. Man, listen, I've got to get somebody saved. What's a creature? Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8.
Well, I'll tell you, I just believe a black man's brain size is smaller than a white man's.
You make a good Ku Klux Klanner. You know that? We'll put you in Africa and let you be slaves for years and see how well you adapt to somebody else's society. We'll put you in a ghetto where you don't even have a piece of grass for your boy to play on, and a society that's bigoted like you bigots. See how you turn out, white honky. No, I'm not Martin Luther King Jr. And I haven't had no dreams lately. And I'm sick and tired of the older preachers getting me off into a room somewhere and telling me not to talk about winning blacks to Jesus. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. One guy said to me, he said, don't bring no chunkers in here. That makes God want to weep. Yeah, I had three saved, but two of them black. You know, you're a real idiot. You know that? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. Somebody say amen. He said, white Jerusalem, white Judea, and the mixed breed of Samaria. Now, the Bible says that. Now, you love to quote that, but you never really thought what you was quoting. What he was saying was, ye shall be witnesses to the north side of town, to the east side of town, but you'd better get over to the south side of town and get the gospel to the black folk on the south side of town. Huh? Now that's what the Bible says. Well, I hate to get the Bible in on this. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Sicily called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So a boy made pizzas for a living. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave him much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel, which by the way, the angel couldn't lead him to Jesus. Only human beings can lead other human beings to Jesus. When the angel which spake unto, well, whatever's going to be is going to be. If it ain't meant to be, it's going to go ahead and be anyway. Hello, John Calvin, how you doing? And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, would that call not thou common? Do you see that? And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon was surnamed Peter were lodged there. God was teaching Simon Peter a great message. He was teaching him that this gospel was not to be to the Jews, but it was to be to the entire world, given to the entire world, not only Jerusalem, but Judea and Samaria, into those parts of the city you don't like to go. Go to Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13, verse 42 through 52. Acts 13, verse 42. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Huh? Couldn't get the stinking Jews to listen, but the Gentiles wanted more. You go into any ghetto area and open up your Bible and begin to stand and read the Word of God. They'll come out of the rooms. They'll crawl out of the windows. You'll get a crowd around. I dare you to do it in Shreveport. I dare you to go to Bossier City and open up a Bible and stand on a street corner. Why, before you know it, there'll be 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 people coming. They're hungering for the Word of God. And you couldn't get a white man to listen to you. Why? Because they haven't been completely ruined by religion. Today, you listen to me, they'll listen to a man that has a Bible in his hand. Verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came also the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes. You see, there are multitudes of sinners that'll listen to a gospel preaching man. Multitudes. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed. By the way, there's only two criteria for the church. One is getting somebody born again. That causes shouting in heaven. Two, God said, fill the house. Fill the house. He didn't say what to fill it with. He said, fill it. He didn't say white. He said, fill it. That's what he said. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Well, I guess I would too. Multitude like that show up and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. I'm going so and I don't get no white people listen to me. Go to the black side of town. You don't like that, do you, Ku Klux Klanner? Mason, you don't like that, do you? Well, son, we don't have a room back here for your hood. Verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation of the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Now, that's what the Bible says. We're Bible believers, aren't we? You know what they did? They got a hold of the WMS. They called the president of the WMS and said, what are we going to do about this? They were devout and honorable heifers. Women. Now, after they got a hold of the women, then they could talk to the men and the chief men of the city and raise persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expel them out of their coast. That means they kicked them out of the convention. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. You can't stop a soul winner. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they're winning souls, dummy. They're out here keeping people out of hell. And the Jews wouldn't listen. They went to the Gentiles. If the white Gentiles wouldn't listen, they went to the black Gentiles. Couldn't get you a big one, well, go get us a little one. But you can't tell me you can't come to church week in and week out without a convert by your side. You could get one if you wanted one. Listen, you listen to me. If you come to church on Sunday morning with your car empty of visitors, and you've got the audacity to criticize a bus captain that comes in with 10 on his bus, that's 9 more visitors he had that you didn't have. That van has hauled today 19 different people to church. Now, I'm not going to, listen, I will stand and I will scream and I'll holler. I believe that every Lord's Day, you ought to have a sinner by your side. Every Lord's Day, you ought to walk down these aisles with a sinner by your side. Every Lord's Day, you ought to have one of your converts in that baptistry right there. And listen, I said, well, I'm just not Bob Gray. Well, why don't you try being Christian? You're just not trying hard enough. Listen, I refuse to lower. Listen, I refuse to excuse anybody that doesn't walk down an aisle with a convert by their side. Amen. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but you're just going to have to live with me. We're married. Well, one time I wished I believed in divorce. Go to Matthew chapter 21. 21 verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, verse 28, Matthew 21, and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. Sound like a teenager, doesn't it? Sound like a deacon, doesn't it? Sound like a Baptist to me, if you ask me. He answered, he said, go work on the bus route today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. But that's hard preaching right there. He's saying, you righteous Jews, I know some whores going to heaven before you will. That's what he's saying. I know some dirty, crooked politicians going to heaven before you will. Ladies and gentlemen, there's just something about our nature that we feel if everyone's not exactly like we are, that they shouldn't have the right to exist. Let me tell you something. We're supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you for interracial marriage? Not on your life. But I'm a little sick and tired of some of you Ku Klux Klanners that are running around measuring the percentage on the buses. God doesn't shout over it. No shouting under heaven because you can count.
Well, let's see. We baptized 45. Now, if my figures are right, I believe 25 of those were black.
Well, you're a real genius. You know that? What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Well, my heart aches tonight for America. It just aches tonight. I went to an Indianapolis Sword of the Lord conference. I dove in the altar. My wife and I, we wept like a baby. Oh, I tell you, I heard Dr. John Rice preach on reaching your city. Oh, I wept. I cried until I couldn't cry anymore. And I got up and I said, honey, we're going to reach our county for Christ. I went back home, got me a map out, and laid it out on the floor. And I began to pray, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, I want to knock on every door. Every door. And I went out and I found out that 65 to 70% of my town was black. Now, if I'd listened to the older preachers, I would have said, well, God will send a man for them. But let me tell you something. God sent the man for them, and it was me. You know, you'd be surprised at how much more decent some of our chapels are than your the white honkies in this room. Your kids come to this church. You'd be shocked at how better behaved some of our chapels are than the deacon's kids in this room right now. Oh, you visitors having a tough time, aren't you? You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at how much more respect there is for God's word. Listen, I've you know, some of you don't even close your eyes when we pray. You know, there's folks in this room, you look around, look all over the room, you don't even bow your head. But I dare you to go one of our chapels, and when the pastor gets up to say it's time to pray, and see if you see one. And by the way, you can always tell because they're white. Eyeballs. On a black background, you can just count the eyeballs, divide by two. But guarantee you they got their heads bowed. But you don't have to. After all, you've been saved 3 weeks. All right? Go to Romans chapter 9 with me, please. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, beginning with verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. That I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is ever all, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Watch it. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Hold it. God promised a son. But Abraham went and took Hagar, committed adultery, and had a son who was the firstborn. And his name was Ishmael. And the law said the eldest son walked away with the goodies. And the Jews were saying, hey, we're the seed of Abraham. But do you know what Paul said? Paul said, excuse me, but Ishmael was the firstborn. Ouch. Listen to me. My dear friend, the black people have as much right to the gospel story, the Gentiles have as much right to the gospel story as any Jew walking on planet Earth, because I want you to know, please listen to me, please listen to me. God does not look at natural descent or where you came from. Jesus died for the whole world. He died for the whole world. Go to Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That ain't all. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
You know what God's going to do to some of you bigots? You're going to be ruling 5 cities. And there's going to be another one on the other side. He's going to be a black brother. And he's going to be ruling 5. And he's going to walk over to you and say, give me 5. I understand you.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm from the South. I just have different. I was born in Arkansas. Get off that kick.
Had a man here met me in the hallway.
He said, I'll tell you what, you start bringing blacks in here, I'm leaving.
I said, you want your letter now or later? I came to this church. I never tried to use the black men to help our attendance. I honestly and sincerely, I love every person. You see, you don't understand. In the Old Testament, when a man dropped dead, they drew the line from his death to the nearest city, and that city was responsible for that man's death. And you understand, in the New Testament, when a man drops dead and goes to hell, God marks the place where that man dropped dead to the nearest fundamental Bible-believing church and holds that church accountable. Go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Oh, I'm not joining this church. Well, listen, we don't need any more bigots. Man, listen. When I surrendered to preach, I surrendered to preach the Bible. We didn't take a vote out here to see what y'all like to hear. This army style, buddy. Just walk by. We just put it on your plate. And I'm not a pop machine where you put 50 cents in my mouth and punch a button and I give you RC. You just get what you got coming. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Look at this. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Following verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, you have 12,000 from each tribe, all males who were saved. This is not JFWs. If it be the case, then they'd have to be just men JFWs, no women JFWs, and they'd have to be Jews. That's right. Now, verse 9, I want you to notice verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. You want to put up your robe you got now? We'll a legitimate white robe when we get to heaven, but it ain't going to be no hood, baby. Says white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now you listen to me and listen to me well. As long as I pastor this church, we're going to run buses to the south side of town, the north side of town, east side of town, the west side of town. We're going to go to the black side of Tyler, the Spanish side of Tyler, Vietnamese side of Tyler. We're going to go to every city, 47 cities, 100 plus communities. We're going to go to Shreveport. We're going to bust them out of Shreveport. We're going to bust them out of Bossier City. We're going to bust them out of Arkansas. Listen to me. I'm telling you, it's a great commission. We've got to reach the entire world with the gospel. Let's get off this Ku Klux Klan kick and get back to what the Bible says. I will. Luke chapter 15. Oh, you're disappointed that we had some verses, aren't you? Luke chapter 15. You have here the story of the prodigal son. And in this prodigal son, the prodigal son pictures the Gentile. The older son pictures the Jew. And you can see the bigotry and the attitude. Why, he said, I don't understand this, Father. I never transgressed. Yet you've killed the fatted calf for this wild younger brother. I don't understand it. You threw a party. I don't understand it. And I want you to notice in verse 31,
And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you do not lose a thing. You do not lose it. The Jews did not lose a thing because the gospel went to the Gentiles. Because God said to the Jew, why, you're always with me, son. And everything I have is thine. Why can't you rejoice? Because others are getting in on the goodies that I've given to you. May I say to you folks tonight, please listen to me. Why do you get upset? Because we give the gospel to people that don't look like you, don't have the same color as you have. And listen to me. A little black boy's heart weeps and breaks just like a little a white boy's heart. The little black boy's tears are just as real as a little white boy's tears. And the hurt of rejection that runs through a black family is just as bad as it would be if the roles were reversed. First, and you found yourself being bigoted and prejudiced against. You listen to me, until we start falling in love with the entire world, we cannot carry the gospel to the entire world. Every time we'll bypass a black man looking for a white man, we won't go on the south side of town, we won't run our buses there. Before you know it, we'll just use people to try to build some empire. I want you to know, we're not here to build an empire, we're here to keep people out of hell. That's why. Oh, in God's name tonight. I stand tonight as an attorney, and I know this isn't very popular. I was sitting in Dr. Hall's office. Preacher said to Dr. Hall, I want to talk to Brother Gray alone. Brother Hall left. He leaned over and took his finger and pointed at me. And he said, you're getting awful popular. He said, but there's one thing you're preaching, you better stop. He said, before you know it, you'll split some white churches because you're preaching about getting blacks in the church. He said, you're going to ruin the churches in America. He was my hero. And I love him tonight. But my heart sank into my stomach. I refuse. I absolutely refuse to take on such a low mentality and such a bad mindset. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to forgive me. But when God says the whole world, I believe the whole world. I'm not trying to get our girls married off and black boys, and nor am I trying to get a black girl married off to a white boy. I'm telling you, until you start looking on our city with compassion and a broken heart. Listen, you don't work with them. You don't know. You have no idea. The food we take to families, and we go in and live in little old cardboard shacks. I say a bunch of lays there, rascals. Well, I know the same thing about some white folks in our town. Same thing. But you don't understand. Seven people living in a little old shack in Marshall. Thank God six of them got saved. When that fire broke out last Christmas, the CBS Morning News carried it. People all over America began to weep because seven precious people burned up in a fire. But may I say to you, there'll be millions that'll be thrown into hellfire. Burning forever and ever. I don't understand you. Please, I'm not
I'm not trying to set myself up better than anybody else in this room. But let me tell you something. I made up my mind years ago, if I was going to pastor a church, that I wasn't just going to tell you to do one thing, and I was going to do something else. You folks have watched me for 7 years now, and every Sunday I walk down these aisles with a convert by my side. I've not lied to you. I've not preached one thing to you and I've practiced something else. But I went to God. Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? I believe it was a fella, maybe it was a lady, wrote me a note and she said, you know, I love your preaching. And I have to just drop my head. Because we're having too many black families join the church. You don't have the heart of God. I know I'm a rebel. I know I'm bullheaded. And I know I get downright cantankerous sometimes. And I'm right. I'm right. Because God said so. Right, go ahead. Don't listen. There's going to be a war breakout. You just go on. There's going to be some bloodshed. But this is the answer. That's the answer. We don't need the UN. We just need to get you into this. Don't you care? Where was your convert this morning? How can you be so flippant about it? I don't understand that. How can you just come to church and go home and never keep anybody out of hell? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. There's some burden in here. I can't get away from it. I can't. I mean, a lot of people try to change me, but they ain't been nobody successful yet. But I can't help it. Don't you have a burning tonight? Don't you care about this city? Don't you care that there's people hurting out there that need the gospel? Don't you care? Chapels. Satan tried to put a death blow on us the last 9 months. But buddy, we're coming back fighting. He's going to be sorry he ever kicked at us. He's going to be sorry. Buddy, we're going to come out blowing and going. I mean, we're going to come out with more bus routes and more chapels he ever thought about. We'll keep him so busy he'll be dizzy. We'll have so many chapels out here, he'd just have a tough time. You see, he can only be at one place at one time. Why, some of you lily whites. I ought to take some of you lily whites and put you on a Shreveport chapel. Now, you'd have to have a helmet. Do you know that soul winners in this church can go places where the police can't go? Every week they pull up and say, oh, you folks get out of here. This is dangerous. How long you been here? Oh, about 2 years. There's something about a man that's got burning down in here and a love for people. It'll cause the most vilest man to stop and take notice of what he has to say. My question tonight is, what is a creature? Heavenly Father, please help us. God, I pray, help us to understand. And I know this isn't popular preaching, but oh God, tonight, break some hearts. There's some men in this room that ought to be driving buses. Dear God, I pray they'd start driving. There are people in this room that, oh God, have got some things in their minds and their hearts. It's not right. It's not right. Oh God, I pray they'd dive in this altar and get that thing right. Start loving people. Those precious little children, they don't understand. God, help us to love everybody. To get the gospel to everybody. Oh God, help us tonight, please. Our heads bowed.